Our scripture passage today comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Now listen to the word of God. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all of the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he judged Israel. And he built there an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. When Pastor Mark began to think and pray about this Sunday and the sermon that he would write and deliver, he was actually led to go back to a sermon that he delivered on the first Sunday after we were welcomed into the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And he took this sermon and thought that it would be appropriate for today, and he began to make some hand notes as to how he would update it and change it for today. Some of those notes I could make out, some of those notes I could not. So this sermon is mostly Pastor Mark, with where I've had to fill in where things were not quite as clear. And in some ways that is appropriate, because from the moment Mark and I said our I do's, I have sought to be his helpmate, to support him and to encourage him in his ministry wherever that has been. And so this morning, this is Pastor Mark speaking to you as well as Lois Ann. So let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning that Mark's words and my words will not be heard, but that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your word and your word alone will be heard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are, and then the men of Kilathonjaro came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kirath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. If you are sharing a drink with friends, it is a worldwide custom to offer a toast. When offering a toast, the English say cheers, the Norwegians say skål, and Humphrey Bogart says, here's looking at you, kid. At a wedding, it is traditional for the best man to offer a toast to the bride and groom. We offer a toast as a way to pledge loyalty. In the Royal British Navy, a toast to the king or queen is offered at the end of a meal. The etymology of the word toast is this. There was a time in the past when a piece of toasted, heavy brown bread would be put in the bottom of a tankard of ale or wine. The bread would soak up the drink, and hence, the best part of the drink was at the end, the toast. A similar dynamic is at work in memorials. A memorial is a structure made of an enduring substance, usually metal or stone, to acknowledge and remember a person and or an event. Surrounding Fairview's worship facility is a graveyard filled with stone memorials of those who have died and are buried there. A number of years ago, we erected a plaque on the grounds of the one-room schoolhouse known as the Seminary, commemorating Fairview's roots back to that modest building. Our purpose today is to offer a toast, a memorial to the work of God here at Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church during the past 11 years. We wish to remember, we seek to offer thanks. We want to draw a line, establish a marker that God has been at work in our midst. In the passage from 1 Samuel, we note that a long time passes. 20 years pass between verses 1 and verse 2. A great deal of life is simply a matter of faithfully waiting and walking. We walk with God day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and decade by decade. And though this perspective is beyond our reach as individuals, God's people walk with him century by century, even millennium by millennium. But starting in verse 2, something is about to happen. The prophet Samuel calls God's people to a gathering. They are to meet at Mizpah, a place where God meets us. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Oftentimes, there is a story behind the story. The Lord of the Rings begins with Gandalf's visit on the occasion of Bilbo's 113th birthday. But of course, behind that is the story of how Bilbo came to possess the Ring of Power. And before that, Gollum's stewardship of the ring. And even earlier, the stories of why the ring was created and how it was lost. The same is true of the church. Behind the story of Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church is the story of Scottish Presbyterianism. And behind that is the story of the Reformation. And before that is the full story of church history, all the way back to the apostolic age. And it really does not start there. We can push the beginning of the story we tell back even earlier, to Christ, to the Israelite prophets, to the giving of the law, and to God's calling of the patriarch Abraham. Similarly, there is a backstory behind the story that Jeff read this morning. If you wish to know the details, you can read the backstory in the earlier chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 4. We're not going to look at the details of that chapter in this message. We will only note that the backstory is a tale of defeat and setback. Things did not unfold happily for the people of God. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, the symbol of God's presence in the midst of his people, was lost in battle. The ark was left in the care of a man named Abinadab, and there it remained for 20 years. This passage speaks to us directly today. As God's people, we at times also experience defeat and setback, either as a community or as individuals. We do not love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. We sin against Him and against one another. This is why liturgy and worship is so important. Each week, our liturgy includes a prayer of confession, a time to confess our sin to the Lord, and an assurance of pardon, a time to receive the assurance that comes because we have placed our faith in the one who stood in our place and now forgives us. In our passage, the prophet Samuel enters the picture. He determines that there is work to be done. He calls people to the task before him. They gather at mitzvah. The imagery of mitzvah is that of a place where God's hand is revealed. Mitzvah is a place of expectation and of hope. It is a place of spiritual renewal. And mitzvah is a place of work. Samuel leads the people in the task of assembly or worship, sacrifice, prayer, and spiritual recommitment. Samuel is the spiritual leader of the people of Israel. Can you think of places of mitzvah in the story of your life? A place of mitzvah would be a place where God's presence and guiding was particularly real and meaningful to you. In Pastor Mark's life, a place of mitzvah would be the chapel in Hazlitt, New Jersey, where his faith came alive during a worship service one night when he was a teenager. Another would be the sanctuary of First Presbyterian Church in Rockford, Illinois, where he was ordained, or the sanctuary of the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, where Mark and I were married. What are the mitzvahs in your life? It may be the place where you were baptized or confirmed or married. It may be a summer camp. For some, a place of mitzvah would be this worship sanctuary of Fairview. You may have been baptized here or married here, or it was here that the funeral service of a loved one was held. This sanctuary will always be a place of mitzvah for Mark and for me. In the spring and summer of 2006, God worked in our lives to bring us from serving Him at the Union Church of Lima, Peru, to serve Him here in Glenmore, Pennsylvania, at Fairview Presbyterian Church. On the last Sunday of August 2006, Mark preached his first sermon as your pastor from this pulpit. I used Google. Google's a really fascinating, helpful thing at times. I used Google to search out the exact date of the last Sunday of 2006. It was August 27th, 2006. I then searched and discovered that the 27th has not fallen on a Sunday in any of the years since until today. Pastor Mark's ministry in this place began on August 27th, 2006, and now on August 27th, 2017, it is being brought to a close. Only God can work out those kinds of details. A mitzvah is a place where God has met us. A mitzvah is simply a place where God's presence in the past has been made clear to us. A mitzvah is a place of past proven importance. As such, it is also a place of expectation, the hope that God will act again as He has acted in the past. A mitzvah is a place of the memory of spiritual victory. As a church, like the people of Israel under Samuel's leadership, we have experienced God's profound presence and guidance during the past 11 years. Mitzvah, God has led us. And that leads us to this day where we claim the Ebenezer, the stone of remembrance of God's help. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mitzvah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." In the story from 1 Samuel, God meets his people and gives them victory. God turns around the defeat. Israel's enemies hear the report that the people had gathered at Mitzvah. A battle ensues. Israel wins the battle, decisively because God has intervened. The battle belongs to the Lord. Israel pursues the defeated Philistines. It is at this point, at the awareness of clear and decisive victory, that the prophet Samuel erects the Ebenezer Stone. The Ebenezer Stone is a memorial of God's help. It is an enduring record in stone that God has been at work and that God has brought his people to this place of victory. And it's important to remember that an Ebenezer is also a memorial for the in-between times. In our story, God has helped defeat the Philistines, but God has not yet destroyed them as a continuing threat to God's people Israel. The final subjection of the Philistines will come in the future under King David. Thus, the Ebenezer is recognition that God has helped us, he has met us, though the work is not yet done. God has not done all we wish. God has not fulfilled all our hopes and dreams, but he has been present in our midst. An Ebenezer is a memorial for thus far. It is a memorial for the middle, but not of completion, not an ending. This is where we are today. God has met us as a congregation, and we seek to remember and acknowledge that truth today. Next, the author of Samuel offers an inventory of what God did for the people of Israel that day. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. It is good to follow his example and take periodic inventory of how God has met us in the unfolding of our lives. How has God met you in and through the life and ministry of Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church? How has God helped you so far in the walk of your life? It is good occasionally to take inventory of how God meets and leads us through the work of his church. For some of our young people, you have been raised each Sunday attending Sunday school. You have a special relationship with those adults who have been your teachers. Some have completed confirmation at Fairview. Some of you completed confirmation a long time ago at Fairview. It was here that you first publicly confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Some here this morning were married in this sanctuary. Others have presented infants for baptism. For others, it was here that you were set apart as an ordained deacon or elder. There are those who sing in the choir or cantatas. We share memories of Christmas dinners, Easter egg hunts, yard sales, men and women's retreats, couples Bible studies, Pine Brook, lunches at Stadium Grill, campouts, fall festivals, and so on. For some, you first came to faith in Christ through the ministry of Fairview. For others, the ministry of the church brought you back after a long wander in the wilderness. For many, it is here that you first began to know, comprehend, and love Reformed theology. For others, it is here that the teachings of the Bible came alive for you. For some, it was here that the friends of the faith helped you through serious illness or stood alongside you as you grieved. Here, abiding friendships have been formed. In all these things and more, God has helped us thus far. And in these things, he has used the life and ministry of Fairview as the means of helping us along life's way. Many blessings are ours as a result of our involvement in the life and people of this church. But behind those blessings stand the person and work of Jesus Christ. He calls us to come to him, to come to Christ, who is the source of all blessing. So, as we begin to draw this sermon to close, I want you to notice again the chalices on the communion table. And on the table are two chalices containing a collection of Ebenezer stones. So Linda is going to play for us, and as she begins to play, I want to invite you to come forward and to choose a stone from one of the chalices, your Ebenezer, marking this moment, this place of faith in your life. And I want to encourage you, if for some of you, if walking is difficult, if coming forward is difficult, ask someone in your pew to choose a stone for you and bring it back to you. So come forward and choose your Ebenezer stone. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. So I want you to take your stone, and I want you to hold it in your hand. And as I close today, I want to encourage you to take this stone home with you and place it somewhere where you will regularly see it, and it will help you to remember several things. First, there is a reason why the Ebenezer stone is contained in the communion chalice. All that we have through Christ, as a consequence of the redemption he offers through the sacrifice upon the cross on our behalf. The Ebenezer stone is to remind us of Christ. It is to point us to Christ. For 11 years, by the grace of God, Pastor Mark has stood in this pulpit and pointed us all to Christ, to who he is, to what he has done on our behalf. So when you look at your Ebenezer stone, remember Jesus and his sacrifice for you. Secondly, the Ebenezer is to remind us of the power of Christ. There is a legend of how enemies of the church sought to kill the Apostle John by putting poison in the communion wine. The legend says that when John the Apostle made the sign of the cross over the communion wine, the poison lost its power and potency. That is the power of Christ. You may be carrying with you this morning all sorts of poisons from your past, all sorts of burdens. Whatever they are, Christ has the power to overcome them. Bring them in faith to Christ. When you look at your Ebenezer stone, remember the power of Christ. Third, when you take the Ebenezer stone as a memorial for the in-between times, the story God is writing for us individually and corporately is not over. There is more to be written and told. But right now, in this place, we know that God in the past 11 years has met us here. He has walked with us. He has led us to this moment of faith and belief, and he will continue to lead us into his future. And we take our Ebenezer to mark that fact. Fourth, love one another. Hebrews says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. 1 John, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Ephesians, ultimately, when each part is walking properly, the body of Christ grows so that it builds itself up in love. God has placed you in this particular expression of his body, and he has poured out his love into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. And God's love is always other-directed. This truth is shown perfectly in the love our Father has for his children. His love for us moved him to send his only begotten Son for us. Christian love is other-directed because it is the love of God given to us in Christ Jesus. If we have been granted God's love, we must and will shower that love on others. In the days to come, when you look at your Ebenezer stone, may it remind you to love others, to ask the Lord, whom would you have me concretely love today? And that brings us to the last encouragement, to remember to pray for one another. Praying for one another is the foundation of how we are to love one another. When we are praying for one another, the Holy Spirit will flood our hearts and our minds with concrete, tangible ways to love one another. Pray for the pastor search committee as they work towards calling the first pastor of Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Pastor Mark was called here when Fairview was Presbyterian Church, PCUSA. During these 11 years, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit transitioned us from the PCUSA into the EPC. So this will be the first pastor called to Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And we know, we absolutely know beyond a shadow of doubt that God knows who that will be. So begin praying for him and for his family now. Pray that God is preparing them to answer the call, and pray that you will be ready and eager to welcome them with love and enthusiasm for the gifts and the ministry they will bring. So raise your Ebenezer stone. Raise it up. Come on. All the way through the Old Testament, we see God's people doing physical acts of worship. Raise your Ebenezer stone. Look to Christ. It is in Christ and Christ alone that we are saved. Remember the power of Christ. Christ has the power to overcome the burdens we carry this morning. Christ in his power will go before us. Christ in his power will give us a future. And as you grip this stone this morning, remember that our God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. The story he is writing for us is not over. There is more to be written and told, and it will all be for his glory and our good. He is faithful. As you raise your Ebenezer stone, look around you at your brothers and sisters in Christ raising their Ebenezer stones. And remember, love one another. The love that God our Father has shown us through Jesus is other-directed love, a love that is given to us and is to be given to others. And may this Ebenezer stone be always daily a reminder to each of us to pray for one another. From the first moments that Pastor Mark was freed from the ventilator and sedation drugs, he began to pray. He prayed first for the nurse whose wife was traveling back from a trip. When visitors would come to visit him in the hospital, it was Pastor Mark lying in his bed who offered up prayers for those of us visiting. He has told those who've taken care of him that he has felt your prayers for him. For the past 11 years, one of the most consistent ways Pastor Mark has loved you has been to pray for you. He would pray regularly, daily, through the church directory, lifting each one of you by name before the Father's throne. You know he has prayed for you as you've gone out the door of the church. For some of you, he prayed for you in a grocery store. He has prayed for you through text. Well, not text. He doesn't text much. But he's prayed for you on the phone and through email. He has prayed for you in your homes. And if Pastor Mark were here today, he would say, it has been a great privilege and joy to pray for you, to faithfully preach by the grace of God, the Word of God here in this place, and to love you and be loved by you. And he would remind you that it is all of God and none of us. All blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Say amen, somebody.
Amen. Amen.